You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Samantha Wright, filling in for Jim Agatette. Big cats, tigers, and leopards, and jaguars are some of the world's most magnificent animals and some of the hardest to find. Photographer Steve Winter has been tracking these cats from Asia to Latin America in an effort to share their beauty and to help save them one picture at a time. Steve will be speaking about his work and sharing his photographs tomorrow night at the Morrison Center in Boise. And he joins us right now. Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing real good. Thank you for having me.
That's awesome.
Pleasure being here.
You've been taking pictures for National Geographic for over 20 years. How did you get started taking pictures of big cats?
Well, that's an interesting story, but I started out at Nat Geo because it was my childhood dream since I was 8 years old to be a National Geographic photographer. So I'm one of the luckiest guys in the world that I'm able to realize my dream. So I'm really lucky. And I started out as a photojournalist and was with an agency in New York City got an assignment to work in the jungles and went from photographing conflict around the world's economic stories, just everything for Time, Newsweek, Fortune, stuff like that. Started at Nat Geo doing people. And on my first wildlife story, I was visited by a black panther.
Oh, wow.
And it scared me to death. And a black panther in our hemisphere is a black jaguar. And I came back to home and started doing research like we do on every story proposal for the magazine. Found out Nat Geo had never done a story on jaguars before. And so I proposed it. They said yes. And then I found out why nobody had ever done it before. Because it was so difficult.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing. And you've been just all over the world looking for big cats.
Oh yeah. I've kind of gone down the list of every big cat. I've spent about a decade working on tigers. Had a big tiger story and covered a couple of subspecies of the tiger, especially the Sumatran, which is probably the one that most scientists think would go extinct, and you know, Indo-Chinese tigers and then other tigers. But always, every story I do, I try to have a tangible result. Because even like the first jaguar story I did, I went down to Brazil where the biggest jaguars are located, and went to the Pantanal, the world's largest wetland, and found that all the cowboys there and all the ranches thought the only good jaguar was a dead jaguar, and every dead cow was the fault of a jaguar. And, you know, I grew up on a farm, and I thought it was absolutely asinine that they would think this. And so the scientist I was working with, her boss happened to be my best friend and said, why don't we do a GPS sat collar study and find out the answer to this? I'm working on the ranch of the former mayor of Rio. So he's an intelligent person, and whatever we come up with, he'll understand it. We did that, found out only 1% of cattle deaths could be attributed to jaguars. And then they just had a new paper came out in 2017 that every cow is worth $2,000. But each jaguar, now that it's a tourism area, brings in $108,000 every year. Each animal.
Wow.
So nobody's going to touch the hair on the head of any one of these cats because they all make their living from them, whether they drive a boat, work in a hotel, bring the people from the town on the five-hour drive to get there. And so you're always trying to find a way to make a difference and give people a reason to care.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Okay, so it's stories like this that you're going to be telling tomorrow night at the Morrison Center. Can you tell us just a little bit how you got stuck in quicksand?
Well, that's an interesting story. And scary. All right, so I'm doing a story with that scientist who was my best friend in Myanmar, and we're in the middle of nowhere walking a couple days to meet the, quote, tiger team of Myanmar. They were trying to create a tiger reserve in an area. And so they put camera traps up, just like trail cams we put out in your backyard, or, you know, if you're a farmer, you put them out to find out if what animals are around. And so I'm walking up. We're in the second day. We have elephants that are carrying all the equipment, former logging elephants. The domesticated elephants can't go back in the wild. Wild elephants ate them. And so we're walking along, and all of a sudden somebody sees a tiger track. And the guys I'm with, you know, they don't speak any English, but I see them kind of start running. And they tiptoe across this stuff, and I went, whoa, tiger track, we better go. And then I thought, a tiger track? What are we going to do if we actually see it? And they saw him tiptoe across this something, and I walked across it, and it was quicksand. I'm carrying three heavy cameras, got a giant fanny pack around me. Luckily, it was a giant fanny pack, because – when you step in quicksand, you want to get out. They always say don't move, but you sink very quickly. And all the guys that we were with, the local indigenous people, are turning around laughing at me till one of them tries to save me, and he gets caught in it, and he goes directly backwards. I guess that's what I should have done, and hits dry ground with his shoulders, and he crawls out. And it was super scary, and luckily I had that fanny pack on because it stopped me long enough, because I yelled bamboo because they gave me a rotten piece of wood and it broke off in my hands. I yelled bamboo because I know bamboo's strong, and they found a piece, and I got out.
Oh, my gosh.
So trust me, it's like it is on the cartoons when you get stuck in quicksand.
Oh, my gosh. Tell me. Have you seen, I mean, we know big cats are on the decline around the world. You have been all over the world looking for the cats. Have you seen this going on?
Yes. It's one of the issues that I cover, because the bottom line with doing stories like this is pretty pictures aren't going to really change things. You need to tell their story. And whether it was the first big cat story with the jaguars, where I covered the cowboys and people that were killing the predators and finding the right answers, or tigers and the poaching for the traditional medicine market. You want to cover the whole story and show what the problems are, because every problem has a solution. And so then you hook up with organizations that will make a difference, find stories that you can make a difference on, like I went to this tiger temple in Thailand, and all the scientists said, don't go there. We think they're in the involved in the black market trade, breeding and giving cubs to the traditional medicine market and killing old cats. And it's like, well, then why don't you do anything about it? Well, it's at a monastery, you know, and thousands of tourists come every day. And it's like, so I went there, and I actually worked with my wife, Sharon Guynup, who's a Nat Geo writer and Woodrow Wilson fellow. And we got enough information, and she wrote four stories for Nat Geo about it. And the government went in and closed the place down. So, you know, because they found, what they found was 20 tigers on meat hooks in the freezer and 25 cubs in jars, you know, slated to go to Vietnam and Laos and China. So they are on the decline, but there's a lot of good news out there, because what we're trying to do is work with the supply and demand. If you can work on the demand, and the young people that are coming up with access to the internet and you know, tell their parents, you know, rhino horn is made of keratin, the same thing as their hair and fingernails, so it has no medicinal value. And try to tell them this. You shouldn't eat tiger bone. I always say, you know, supposedly these people think if they ingest part of a tiger, they get the strength of a tiger. And I said, well, when you eat a cheeseburger, do you feel like a cow? And that kind of gets to them. And so, every problem has a solution, and you want to include those in the story so you can make a difference.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So we only have about a minute left. Can you talk about a picture making a difference with a new wildlife overpass in California?
Yes. I had this crazy idea at a mountain lion meeting in Bozeman, Montana, to talk to the National Park Service guy down in L.A. because they have about 20 cats down there, cougars right north of L.A. in the largest urban park in the United States. I wanted a picture of a mountain lion under the Hollywood sign to really show urban wildlife. He said I was crazy that there is no cat there, but my grandma lived in L.A., and I went to Griffith Park, and there was a cougar there then. And it took me 15 months, but I ended up getting a picture of a cougar under the Hollywood sign. It sparked a movement in L.A. that they do have wildlife in the northern areas and protected areas. And now they're building the world's largest wildlife overpass, privately funded, I will say. It's called the Wallace-Annenberg Wildlife Overpass. Photography can make a difference.
Wow, that's amazing. We've been speaking to photographer Steve Winter about his adventures taking pictures of the world's big cats, all while trying to save them from extinction. And you can hear more of his stories and about his work tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at the Morrison Center in Boise. Thank you so much for being here, Steve. It's been wonderful.
Well, thank you so very much. You're welcome. And everybody come on out to Nat Geo Live.
That's awesome. All right. And see the pictures. Coming up tomorrow on Idaho Matters, it's our Doctor's Roundtable. We'll get an update on COVID-19 and talk about a local controversy over masking and public health. That's tomorrow on Idaho Matters. Thank you so much for joining us. Our assistant producer is Hannah Gardosky, and our theme music was written and produced by Boise musician Will Hall. We're going to see you tomorrow. Gemma will be back. Thanks so much for joining us on Idaho Matters.